Here's another message from Pastor Peter Shirley from Life Christian Church.
Hey, I want to talk this morning about the reason Jesus was born, and I'm going to turn to a passage of scripture that is not often shared at Christmas time, but it goes like this in John, 1 John 3:4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. We live in interesting times. I heard the story of two guys who were looking at a nativity scene in a shop window at Christmas. And one of them turned to the other one and says, "Oh, I can't believe that they're even trying to bring religion into Christmas." And this is something of the day and age in which we live. We live in a world that is trying to take Christ out of Christmas. Our society today, the PC police, are trying to remove every reference of Jesus from Christmas. Now, we know that Jesus was not born on the 25th of December. December the 25th was actually a pagan ceremony celebrating the sun god. In the Northern Hemisphere, in medieval times, the shortest day of the year was thought to be December the 25th, and they had this festival which was celebrating the coming of the sun, the coming of warmth and light. There are a lot of Christians who actually choose not to celebrate Christmas because they believe it has pagan roots. It actually doesn't. What happened in the 5th century, the church said, you know what? We're going to take your pagan festival and we're going to celebrate the coming into the world of the real sun, the S-O-N. And so the early church hijacked Christmas and it worked. Hijacked the pagan festival and it worked. And that's what we celebrate today. John 1:4, in him was life and that life was the light of men, the coming of the sun. I love the fact that if you did a survey on the streets today and asked what is the true meaning behind Christmas, you would not find anybody that would go back and say, well, it's actually, well, if you did, it would be pretty rare, but somebody who would say, well, it's a pagan festival celebrating the coming of the sun. The church did a good job of hijacking that festival. The number one response people will give you is, well, it's about Christ born, baby Jesus. But here it is today, it's being hijacked again because we've gone from pagan to Christian and now we're drifting to secular. So this is the times in which we live. And friends, the whole point of this is that it's not important. It doesn't matter that we know when Jesus was born. The thing we need to understand is actually why Jesus was born. And that's why I started with that particular verse, which is not common around Christmas time. But it says in verse 5, "But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins." That's one reason Jesus was born. The second reason, verse 8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So John is saying, this is why Jesus appeared. This is why he was born. This is why there was a virgin birth in a stable. This is why angels appeared to shepherds. This is why wise men followed a star from the east. And friends, here is why the Christmas story has become for many so irrelevant in our society. Because if you don't know why Jesus was born, then the when and the where and the how becomes totally irrelevant. Friends, the when and the where and the how is meaningless unless you understand that Jesus came into this world to take away our sins, point number one that John makes, and to destroy the devil's work, point number two. And here we are living in this day and age where Christians all over the world will be celebrating the fact that a Savior has been born. It excites me that there are literally millions upon millions, if not billions of people sitting exactly where we are right now, celebrating the hope of Christ who has come into the world. For the rest of people, they're familiar with the story. Perhaps they're not in church today. They're busy preparing a nice lunch. They're busy unwrapping presents and all that kind of stuff. And maybe they've watched the carols on TV last night. Maybe they're familiar with the story. But friends, you can be familiar with the story. You can be familiar with the carols. You can watch the nativity played out dramatically. You can put Christmas cards on your Christmas tree. And then at the end of all of that, you can just shrug your shoulders, move on, pack it all away, and wait for another 12 months. But sadly, for so many, the story of Jesus' birth will make absolutely no difference because people don't understand the reason for his birth. So John says he appeared to take away our sin, but people get a little bit offended by that. He appeared to take away our sin. They get offended by the suggestion that they might be sinful. And they say the church is judgmental if we dare to say those kinds of things. I wonder what the shepherds thought. Luke 2 and 8, and the shepherds were out living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." I wonder if the shepherds thought, a Savior? You know, what do we need to be saved from? You know, we're hard-working good shepherds. We've left our families at home to be out here tending the sheep. We could be home with them, but we're here working to provide for our families. We're good shepherds. What do we need saving from? But friends, at the very heart of the Christmas story is this name given to Jesus, that he would be the Savior of the world. When an angel appeared to Joseph, the angel appeared to assure him that the child that Mary was carrying was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And here's what he said in Matthew 1. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins." And Jesus is called Savior over and over and over. But this is only important if we understand that there is something that we need saving from. Friends, the reality is today as we sit here, every single one of us is born in a sinful state that the Bible tells us separates us from the life of God. And that happened way back in Genesis. Genesis 2 and 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" When you eat of it, you will surely die. We know, many of us, the story. They took the fruit and ate it. Did they fall down dead? No, they did not. They lived, in fact, for many, many years. So what did God mean when he said, "The day you eat of that, that day you die"? He wasn't speaking of physical death, friends. He was speaking of spiritual death. Ephesians 4 and 18 says, "They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts." So that day, back in the Garden of Eden, we became separated from the life of God. Adam and Eve remained physically alive, but spiritually dead. And sadly, friends, to this very day, that is the condition into which we are born. The Bible tells us we are born spiritually separated from God. 1 Corinthians 15 and 22, "For as in Adam, all die." It's an hereditary condition. You and I are born, sadly, dysfunctional. You were born physically alive, but spiritually dead. And as a consequence of being spiritually dead, Paul goes on to tell us in Ephesians 2, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." And Paul tells us, as a result of being spiritually dead, separated from the life of God, the consequences are that we become disobedient. meaning we are incapable of living the way that we were supposed to live. And somebody once said, we're not sinners because we have sinned. We sin because we are born sinners. And that sinful state separates us from the life of God. But here is the good news of Christmas. God took the initiative and made a way for his creation to be restored in right standing with God. And you don't find right standing by acknowledging the birth of a baby once a year. Friends, it is not the birth of Jesus that transforms the life of a man or woman. It is discovering that the reason for his birth is that I might have life, not through Jesus' birth, but through the cross. And I got to tell you, and I'm going to ask the team to come back up. The story of Jesus is one story. It is a continuing narrative. We love at Christmas time to think about his birth. We don't so much like at Easter time to think about his death. But it's interesting. Let's read from Romans 3:23. Since we've compiled this long and sorry record of sinners and proved that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us, God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, he put us in right standing with himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we were in and restored us to where he has always wanted us to be. And he did it by means of Jesus Christ. God sacrificed Jesus on the altar of the world to clear that world of sin. Having faith in him sets us in the clear. God decided on this course of action in full view of the public to set the world in the clear with himself through the sacrifice of Jesus, finally taking care of the sins he had so patiently endured. This is not only clear, but it's now. This is current history. God set things right, so he also makes it possible for us to live in his rightness. And here's the wonderful truth. God tells us that Jesus appeared that he might take away our sin. That on the cross, Jesus became your substitute and he became my substitute. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Friends, Jesus took upon himself our sin so that in a relationship with him, we might become the righteousness of God. And that is one of the most generous acts of sacrifice ever given. Our sin was piled upon Jesus, and in exchange, his righteousness was imparted to us. To put it in these terms, he became what we are so that we might become what he is. That is, in right standing before God. And friends, when we open up our hearts to the reality of Jesus and enter into a relationship with God through him, there is something wonderful that happens. The Bible tells us we actually become clothed in Jesus' righteousness. It's a beautiful picture. And that's why at Christmas time, we cannot separate the manger from the cross. It's one story. We will not understand Christmas until we understand Easter and link the two together. So let's go back to the shepherds. They received this good news from the angel. They raced to Bethlehem. And Luke 2 tells us when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But then guess what happened? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. 5 years goes by, 10 years goes by, 20 years goes by, 30 years goes by, and suddenly Jesus is on the scene again, and he was only public for 3 years in his ministry. And in those 3 years, he preached and he taught and he performed miracles. And my message today is not about those 3 years of ministry, but one thing happened just before he went to the cross. He is on trial. He is questioned by Pontius Pilate. And on trial for his life, Jesus said these words in John 18 and 37. In fact, for this reason I was born. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world. And there's the link between the manger and the cross. Jesus says, this is the reason I was born. Friends, the reason for the season is not a star and a stable and a manger. The reason for the season is a cross. It is one story. Jesus, in obedience to the will of his Father, went to the cross. But then he was raised again. That's the good news of Easter and Christmas. Luke 24, he told them, this is what is written. This is after he'd raised from the dead. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's the reason Jesus was born. And friends, here we are 2,000 years later, celebrating this truth in a place that wasn't even known of when Jesus spoke these words. And today, if we choose to reach out to God, to confess our need for Christ, because a Savior was born into the world, we can receive that hope, that promise of eternal life. And here it is, Luke 2 and 11. This is the reason for this season. This is the real message of Christmas. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Friends, the message of Christmas is that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl might know the wonderful forgiveness that Christ offers to each and every one of us. I encourage you this Christmas, as we leave here this morning and go and celebrate with family, that we might consider where we stand with God. That we might realize that the message of Jesus is one message, not just a baby born, but a Savior born into the world. A Savior who said in the shadow of the cross, this is the reason for which I was born. And that we might take that truth and that hope very, very seriously and very, very personally. And it is a personal decision. And I trust that this Christmas would be a special Christmas, not because tomorrow we start packing everything down, but because tomorrow you unpack even more the hope that Christ would bring into your life, into your circumstances.